It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me, guys. Very fun day today. Really looking forward to it because Wrestling Nostalgia is back. I haven't done this show in a while. And with all the scheduling changes and WWE moving around their programming and adding programming and AEW and their weekly show debuting of Dynamite, it's great to finally be back in the saddle for a Wrestling Nostalgia show. And a match that is near and dear to my heart. And we're going to head back to No Way Out 2001. Triple H versus Stone Cold Steve Austin in a Three Stages of Hell match. And this is one of my all-time favorite matches. And just for the psychology of it, the build to it, and then, of course, the execution of it. So we're going to get to that. Of course, I always have some audio clips for you guys to listen to while we can listen to some of the match together and you can get my reactions to it. So we'll get to that. But first, guys, as always, I do want to thank you. I always take time out at the beginning of the show to thank everybody for being a listener of the show. Lots of options out there when it comes to wrestling podcasts. And I know that it's a crowded field when it comes to the wrestling audio. So thank you for taking the time out of your day, your evening, your morning to spend it with us or me. I guess it's just me. I'm a one-man show, at least for this particular podcast. So thank you so much. And again, shout out to all the co-hosts and contributors that make this show and website what it is, which, by the way, WWEpodcast.com with some great articles up there. And of course, all the podcasts and some other goodies. So before we get to the match that I want to talk about, some news coming out of the news wire here in terms of the finalization of the draft, the beloved draft that we've all given critical acclaim to. Of course, I'm being extremely sarcastic. We have the final bow here on the SmackDown roster. And those that have been moved to SmackDown or have been drafted that weren't drafted in the actual draft were Luke Harper, Cesaro, Drake Maverick, Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. They've officially been drafted to Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. So breaking news there. Again, it may or may not be big news to you, but the fact that they were even left off of the actual official draft is a bit concerning because these aren't exactly nobodies. Luke Harper certainly is one of the most underrated, and I don't know if disrespected is the right word, but Luke Harper certainly isn't being positioned in a way that I believe and many believe that he should be. So the full rundown, I'm not going to go through every single name because I'm not going to waste your time, but Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross have both also been moved to SmackDown. They were originally selected individually, no idea why, but they were originally selected individually for Monday Night Raw, and then SmackDown decided, hey, we want them, or the creative said, hey, we don't have any women's tag team depth whatsoever on the SmackDown side. Let's put Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss together on SmackDown for basically a player or players to be named later. It just is, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know how this whole draft, I don't need to, you know, beat a dead horse or jump on the bandwagon, but it's been a complete mess, just a mess, an absolute mess. And really nothing more embarrassing than having the pool of candidates come out the day before the draft and then have the draft go almost exactly in that same order in which you saw the candidate pool. Inexcusable. Inexcusable. So, but I'm going to get off of that horse and move down the line and let you guys know that tomorrow, that's Thursday, you will be hearing two episodes or seeing two episodes and then hearing two episodes drop on the feed here for NXT and AEW. Excited for you guys to hear Zach and Chris. They're going to cover AEW and NXT as the Wednesday Night Wars continue. The Wednesday Night Wars are going on as I record this. And happy to have them on board and be able to cover the NXT and AEW content as the Wednesday Night War rolls into week three already. So look for those podcasts to drop by the end of the day tomorrow. And that's going to be a cool deal. And then, of course, on Saturday, you'll be hearing myself and a co-host discuss everything in the week of WWE, obviously including the Friday Night SmackDown review and Monday Night Raw and whatever news may end up coming through the wire during that time. So lots of content. We still have three more shows to dish out to you guys, and I'm really excited to be able to do that. And again, I know this is the WWE podcast. Doesn't mean we can't cover other promotions. Some people think I have some kind of brand loyalty or I'm affiliated with WWE in some capacity. I assure you, I am not affiliated with WWE in any official capacity. So I just want to make that clear. But since it's my own damn show, I can do whatever I would like to do. And I think it's just a smart move to be able to cover AEW. Why not? Why do I have to be loyal to just WWE or AEW? It doesn't make sense. You know, this isn't high school. I don't have to belong to one clique or the other. I can enjoy everybody. How about that for an analogy? All right. So that's kind of the rounding out of the week in terms of scheduling. And on patreon.com/WWE podcast, you can get your ad-free experience in addition to some occasional video and in addition to getting a shout-out on the show. Coming on the show as a co-host, I have somebody coming on with me in the near future for their own show and coming on and discussing any topic related to WWE. So that's going to be a whole blast. Sean is his name. He'll be coming on with me. We don't have an exact date set, but it should be in the next week or so. And so, Sean, thank you for being a patron of the show. And hey, you get your shot at being a co-host on the show. And I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But if you want to join Sean and you want to be, hey, I want to come on the show and be a co-host, there's an opportunity to do that on patreon.com/WWE podcast. In addition to that, I'm going to start doing articles and maybe some daily updates on that feed. And that'll be available to Patreon members only. Where certain things I write or certain things I upload on a daily basis will be exclusive to the Patreon feed. And so just a little FYI, maybe a little bit of an incentive to you guys. I mean, I actually kind of do pride myself on my writing. I'm not an author by any means, okay? I'm not saying that I'm Stephen King at all. I'm not tooting my own horn. At the same time, I feel that I am pretty damn good at writing things I'm passionate about. And I can get my point across pretty clearly and get you guys to think. So maybe that's what I'll start doing in some of my spare time at work, as I have access to a computer and I also have Microsoft Word. So maybe I'll be able to do that and squeeze in a quick article or two and get your guys' opinion on that. But again, that's only available on Patreon.com. It's not available anywhere else. And I'll be starting that up very soon. Alrighty, well, let's just jump into it because this is a match I'm extremely excited about. And this is a match that really makes me remember why I love pro wrestling. It had the emotion. It had a hell of a backstory and two all-stars in there to knock it out of the park in execution. Now, just setting the stage because I don't want to run through 40 audio clips of exactly how this story came about. Again, if you've seen this match, you know or faintly remember how this whole match came about. But let me remind everybody or educate some of you who may not have a damn clue about this. It's No Way Out. It's 2001. A year prior, Austin was run down by a vehicle, very famously, at the Survivor Series pay-per-view in 1999. And that took Austin out of the game for quite some time. I believe he was out for 8 months, and no one knew who did it. It ended up being Rikishi, but the accomplice was Triple H. And Triple H ended up turning on Austin and hitting him in the head with a sledgehammer. If you guys remember that Raw episode, Triple H put on a black glove, you know, representing that he's committing some kind of crime. It was very well done. And then Austin goes on to continue to beat the holy hell out of Triple H, and Triple H returns in kind, eventually leading to a stipulation in which Vince McMahon had to oversee a contract signing to put these two in a match at No Way Out, and it would be three stages of hell. But the catch was that Stone Cold, until No Way Out, could not put a hand on Triple H, or he would never get another WWF championship opportunity. Triple H, on the other hand, would be given a 6-month suspension if he laid a finger on Austin. And what happened at the contract signing was nothing short of pure genius by Triple H. Austin signed the contract, handed it back to Vince McMahon. Triple H signed the contract, handed it to Vince, and then took the briefcase and ended up hitting Austin in the back of the head. Vince said, "You just earned yourself a 6-month suspension." Triple H then said, "I haven't earned anything because I never signed." He faked signing the contract to get one more shot at Austin to beat the hell out of him, really adding anticipation to this match, really making you want to see Austin beat the you-know-what out of Triple H. Triple H is such a good heel. I think he's underrated as a heel of how good and how much we, at least I, and many others, hated Triple H with a passion. And in this moment, you couldn't deny his brilliance and frustration at the same time for being able to do this and get, you know, the last jab before they have their match. And knowing also that Austin was handcuffed, figuratively, not being able to retaliate, or he would never again receive a WWF championship opportunity. So Austin could not retaliate. However, Austin did retaliate in one of the most, in my estimation, one of the best moments of Monday Night Raw, and one of the moments that made me literally wake my parents up. Not on purpose, of course, but I accidentally woke my parents up, jumping up and down when Austin did what he was about to do. What I'm doing right now is I'm pulling this up on YouTube. So just bear with me here, but I want you guys to listen to this. This is, again, this is leading up to the No Way Out match. Austin had gotten one-upped by Triple H, and Austin would then return the favor in kind to one Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, come on, Trish! Stephanie challenging Trish. What? Oh my God, this ain't Trish! This is a Texas rattlesnake who got his face slapped! Oh my God!
Just relax, honey. I just want to come out here and say thank you. I want to come out here and say thank you for flapping your little gums and showing those video clips and reminding Stone Cold Steve Austin what you did to him last Monday night. Shut up. You're pathetic. Huh? And since I can't touch your little mealy-mouthed husband, old Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Whoa! No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gave Stephanie the stunner! This is hell to me!
that was just absolutely, oh my, seeing that still makes me pop. It's a thing of beauty. Back in the day, just a very short 18 years ago, when men could retaliate against women in a fantasy environment. I have that even in the open of my damn show. I say it every time. But it's a thing of beauty. And when you listen to the audience in attendance, 20,000 strong, 99.9% of them losing their minds. Do you think 99.9% of them are going to go home and perform that move on their wife or their girlfriend or their sister or their cousin or the girl at school? No. We all know it's entertainment, but it's good storytelling. So, again, but we're in the sensitive snowflake 2019 when, you know, my God, God forbid that ever happens. Outside of the Royal Rumble, when Randy Orton gave Nia Jax an RKO, but even though Nia Jax should have never been anywhere near that damn Rumble. But a thing of beauty. Back on track. The thing of beauty. I loved it, and that added a ton of fuel to the fire. Triple H then returned the favor on SmackDown and ended up attacking Jim Ross, his best friend. And it was just a perfect way to get at each other by not attacking each other, but the ones that they love, right? Perfect, great psychology, great backstory of Triple H being the accomplice. You can get a lot of mileage out of this rivalry. It was awesome. The only critique I would have, but this goes through the critique of any 2 out of 3 falls match. When they were saying it's a 2 out of 3 falls match, 3 matches in 1, that alludes automatically to, well, no one's winning 2 straight falls. You know, in other words, we're getting to that third match. It has happened, and actually in recent memory, I believe when there was a 2 out of 3 falls match and somebody won 2 straight falls. I can't remember. It happened in the last few months when Vince went on his 2 out of 3 falls charade for whatever reason. And so it has happened, but it is damn rare, especially in a pay-per-view. So you automatically knew that this was going to be a match that actually did go 3 rounds. So 3 matches were a straight-up wrestling match and then a street fight. And then if it got to it, LOL, a cage match. So let's hear some of the audio from the No Way Out pay-per-view. Austin versus Triple H.
He's got to be out of it. Triple H. Now going for the pedigree. He got him. Triple H with a pedigree. Let's hammer on a pedigree. And that's a second five drop fall. And now we're going to the third fall.
The winner of the second ball, evening lift up at 1 pull apiece, Triple H.
Now the second fall, I know I didn't give you guys audio from the first fall, but Austin hit a stunner on Triple H for the first fall, got a clean victory, and then it migrated into the street fight, of which Triple H won. And that was the way that Triple H got the second fall was as follows: a sledgehammer to the face, followed by a pedigree. Earl Hebner standing there, didn't blink an eye, you know, just took the 3 count and moved on with his life. Fast forward to 2019, Hell in a Cell, the most demonic structure WWE has ever created. What do we get? A ref stoppage. It's mind numbing. Really. So anyway, but we get back to the match. Austin in the first fall, and I love Triple H's promo that he had into this match. Triple H, before the match, said that the first fall, I break your spirit. The second fall, I'll break your bones. And the third fall, I break you. It was awesome, and as I'm going through some of my audio clips here, I do have the actual promo of the match, and I know it's a little bit backwards, but I remember how awesome and how pumped up that some of these promo videos used to get me. I think the production back in the earlier years were actually a little bit better in terms of emotion. Now it's just all flash and what cool camera angles we can get, and all of a sudden there's cameras that are in vehicles that shouldn't be there and cameras behind boxes that shouldn't be there that just make, just who cares? We just want to get the good angle. WWE does not realize this takes you out of the moment. Or if they did, and they do, they don't care. So I know it's a little bit backwards here, but I really, really want to share this with you guys. It is a couple minutes long in terms of the promo video, but if you get a chance, go on YouTube and just watch it. But I want you guys to take a listen to this, and then we'll get back to the conclusion of the match and my final thoughts on it.
Control. It's not going to make me get suspended for 6 months, but it is going to make me have an answer.
What the hell are they doing? That's a Pedigree of JR!
Oh! Pedigree of JR!
Boy, the game is smart, and he knows how close the Rattlesnake and JR is. He knows what friendship they have. The most intense personal rivalry in the history of the WWF ends at the way out.
It's
going to
be an explosion of epic proportions.
Just awesome. I mean, like, you guys listen to that dramatic music. I mean, like, it's like some dramatic opera music. They use that for, I can't tell you how many videos back in the day, and it just still gives me chills. It's just perfect. Like, there's no soul to the videos, the promo videos of the rivalries today before the matches. You know, 9 times out of 10, there's just no soul. There's no better way to put it. Like, I still feel for that match. Like just watching that makes me invested instantly again, even though I know the outcome and it's been 18 years. It's just a testament to the production team, to the performers, Austin and Triple H, to the booking team back then, everything, all the way around. I mean, they hit an absolute grand slam with this program, with this match, with the execution of the match, and absolutely love it. And I know that's a little bit backwards. I probably should have played that at the beginning, but I couldn't find that. So and it was a little bit long, but worth it. And it's worth even seeing. It'll give you chills and it might give you a little bit of nostalgia. And going back 18 years, I mean, back in 2001, I was 16 years old. I was born in 1985. I was 16 when that match happened. I was a ripe old sophomore in high school. Yeah, sophomore in high school. girlfriendless and hopeless at the time. It reminds me, bringing back memories of who and what I was doing at that time. But I was a wrestling fan through and through, and I remember in high school, if you could find wrestling fans that were your friends, man, it was just awesome. But people that hated wrestling and thought it was stupid and fake, you still get that. Even I'm 34, I still get that, right? I mean, we all know as wrestling fans, you still get all the fake stuff, and you all know my argument against it. There really is no leg for anyone to stand on to make fun of wrestling. There really, really isn't. But I won't go down that road. But again, this match, that promo, God, the music, everything. And of course, the infamous Jim Ross at his absolute best, doing what he does, adding emotion to the match, adding importance to the match, being the narrator for their music, as he always says that he was, and he was. Many people tell him that he was their voice to their childhood. I could say he was one of the voices of my childhood every single Monday night, wanting to watch Monday Night Raw, going crazy for what Austin's going to do next, what Taker's going to do next, what D-Generation X is going to do next, the pay-per-views, me watching pay-per-views on scrambled vision. Anybody else do that? Did anybody else back in the day, before you could watch pay-per-views on the internet, get that scrambled vision? I would get, occasionally I'd be able to convince my parents to get like the big pay-per-views, maybe like the Rumble and WrestleMania. I could convince them to get those pay-per-views. But outside of that, I always had to go to scramble vision. What that is, and you probably all know what it is if you were a 90s kid, is you had certain channels on cable that you couldn't get unless you paid for, but the audio was always crystal clear, and the image would occasionally be somewhat visible to see what the hell is going on. And so that was scramble vision pay-per-view for me for a lot of the year, and I remember that very vividly. I remember watching or listening to this match, and then obviously, of course, purchasing the DVD or VHS at the time to watch it back, and in crystal clear color. But it was awesome. And of course, y'all know what scramble vision is for other channels that we all try to get as teenage boys. Those existed too. God, I remember that. Anyway, way off topic. But I really recommend any and everybody to go back and watch this match, not just from the start, but look at the promo. The promo will remind you of what this was about, what it meant to you at the time. It'll bring back the emotions for you, or maybe it'll give you new emotions if you've never seen the match. I would encourage you to follow the story on that before you watch this, because it adds so much context. And this wasn't the first encounter that Triple H and Austin had after it was discovered, though, that Triple H was the accomplice. There was one before that at Survivor Series where Austin dropped Triple H from a car about 50 feet, probably 20 feet in the air with a forklift, of which Triple H somehow survived. That was a little bit over the top, but it was indicative of the time. It was a sign of the times. It was indicative of the intense rivalry, the heated, intense, violent rivalry that this warranted. And there's certainly no stoppage. Certainly no stoppage in this time frame, nor should there be. So what I want to do now, guys, is give you a little bit of the conclusion of the match and then give you some final thoughts. So here we go.
Have him, for this night, the game landed on top of all.
these men lying motionless. Both men have lost a tremendous amount of blood. Their bodies have been wrapped, ravaged, and beaten.
So Triple H, as fate would have it, defeated Stone Cold at the end of that match. I was extremely upset about this, as y'all know I'm a huge Austin fan. But it was, as fate would have it, that Triple H won, as both men hit each other with their respective weapons, and then Triple H was able to just kind of stutter on his, or kind of stammer on his feet a little bit longer than Austin, who immediately went down, and Triple H ended up just happened to collapse on him. So you could chalk it up to luck, but it was really about Triple H needing the victory here. As Austin then went on later, just a month and a half later, to turn heel against The Rock and join Mr. McMahon. So Austin's vaunted heel turn was just around the corner. And Triple H was off to the races too. And so that match was ingeniously booked, ingeniously executed from start to finish. Of course, again, the commentary just adds so much substance to that match. I loved it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you know, if you haven't had the chance, it's really, really worth your time to go back and rewatch, or maybe watch for the first time if you haven't been watching wrestling for very long. Triple H versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, No Way Out, 2001, Three Stages of Hell. It is absolutely worth your time to invest in that, and it is a... It's really a it's an education for any wrestlers today, any performers today that want to understand psychology. I think that is really underscored here. The psychology of this match. I don't think I can understate and overstate that enough. It's not about necessarily they did all this wacky off-the-top flips and stuff, and they were going 100 miles an hour. They took their time. This match, every move had purpose. Every maneuver had a reason. The pacing was as such that you could absorb what was happening and follow the story. In today's professional wrestling, this is awesome, quote, this is awesome matches, at least what some of the audience views as this is awesome. It's like you're reading a book 100 miles an hour. Just flip, 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 flip the page, flip the page, flip the page, flip the page. Let me see the pictures. Let me see the pictures. I don't care about the words. Flip, 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 flip. That's the way 2019, this is, quote, this is awesome, chants happen, unfortunately. Instead of matches that, I'm not saying go in slow motion. That's not what I mean. But I mean there are times to pick it up and slow it down and kind of have an in-between pace. You know, there are peaks and valleys of a match, not just peaks. And that's okay. I just, and the lack of selling of today's product is also a huge thing. I've mentioned this many times too. You go back to the Triple H Austin match, selling was the name of the game, baby. The way that these guys sold for each other as if they were fighting until their last breath, like the lights were on, nobody was home, but I'm going to fight you anyway, was amazing. Bringing the audience in, making them feel how you feel, that is a talent that is learned over time. This was not a spot fest, yet it garnered one of the best matches of the year award. Probably the best match of the year. Maybe only edged out by Austin Rock at WrestleMania in Houston that year, which was labeled as the best pay-per-view of all time for WWE. And with that, with good reason. WrestleMania 17 was off the charts good. Off the charts. With a main event that blew everything out of the water. An Austin Rock. Amazing. Amazing. So I wanted to share that match with you guys because it's a lesson in what can be an awesome match without this is awesome chants that are driven by crazy maneuvers and flips and flabs and 40 reversals into, you know, a Hurricane Rana reverse sunset flip. I mean, I understand why it's entertaining to watch. I get it's visually appealing, but there's no soul to it because it doesn't allow you to feel anything. It's all just visually stimulating without making your heart and your guts feel something. It's all about just how it looks. It's all very superficial. I'm not saying every match, but I'd say with very high confidence, as a broad stroke of what 2019 is defined in 2019, what people define an awesome match as, they'll point to NXT. They'll point to matches that are 50,000 miles an hour. Matches that are going way too quick, not being able to tell a story, but are people are visually appealing and they're all about the spots and just the moves instead of the damn story. It's all about, wow, oh my God, that's a crazy move. Oh my God, that's awesome. But that's all very superficial. Whatever happened to feeling a match? Whatever happened to the backstory of a match? Whatever happened to telling stories inside of a ring, a lost art? Whatever happened to that? It's all about the maneuvers and not about the selling. And it's unfortunate. And I think that's one of the biggest fatal flaws fundamentally for 2019 professional wrestling. And I hope AEW can learn from that. I do, because I don't see WWE ever changing their DNA when it comes to this. So I think I've explained myself pretty damn well. So guys, thank you so much for joining me. I've really enjoyed, I've missed these wrestling nostalgia segments, and I know many of you have too, asking, oh, when are we going to get another? When are we going to get another? Well, here's one now. And I'll try to make this every single Wednesday. And as you guys know, tomorrow night, Thursday, will be an NXT and AEW podcast, separate podcasts, two of them headed your way tomorrow. Really looking forward to being able to give you guys that. And then, of course, on Saturday, I'll be back with a co-host discussing everything in WWE this week, including SmackDown on Friday nights. I almost said SmackDown Live. I'm getting it out of my system. It's starting to slowly leave my brain. But I'm looking forward to that. Again, guys, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast because I'm going to be adding a lot more exclusive content there, only available to Patreon members, not available on the feed, not available on the website. But it's going to start being a much more exclusive club, if you will, as I, you know, raise my nose in the air like a jackass. But, all right, well, I'm starting to ramble. It's getting late. Thank you guys so much for joining me. As always, I'll talk to you next time.